Zikrullah is, what forms does Zikrullah take? Tasbih, Ibadah, which means Salah, Zikrullah, alright, all this, and meditation. You sit quietly, whether you're driving or you're sitting or you're working, whatever you are doing, you have Allah in your mind, and you bring Allah into the presence of your mind, and you have Allah in mind, and Allah in mind, and Allah in mind, and you will see how you start achieving what we call total self-control, or you're on the road of gaining total self-control of yourself, and you watch how this comes within you. Alright brothers, that was number 24 25, to be ever thankful and appreciative for the favors and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to ever express the practices and to ever express the glories and the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point number 25 is as follows. Shaitan says that those people are ever making shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember the story of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. What did Shaitan not try with him? Everything Shaitan tried with him. And every time, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. And he continued to praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shaitan says, those Muslimin that are ever thankful and ever full of praise and appreciation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ever thanking Allah for the favors and blessings and mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the kind of people who will go to Jannah. Number 26. I want to finish this today, brothers. Give me a bit of chance. We're more than halfway through. 26. To ever display humility and submissiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very important. All the time being humble, displaying humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and submissiveness. Always kind, submissive, surrendering, willingly giving themselves over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never, this is the opposite of pride and arrogance. Alright, you know what pride and arrogance is? Now, the opposite of that is what we are talking about. Instead of having pride and arrogance in themselves, they rather are the opposite. They have humility and they have submission within them. Number 27 says, Shaitan, of the kind of people of your ummah who will go to Jannah are those who implore and supplicate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who turn in supplication, in dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they implore and they turn to and they seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no other. Subhanallah. They go to no other and they turn to no other except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They make dua, they make tawbah, they make istighfar, always to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 28 says Shaitan, he's as follows, he says, to be sincere, the kind of Muslims who will go to Jannah, those who are sincere and they are true-hearted in one's devotion and in entreaties and in one's humbleness and lowliness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. You know, there are those of us who sometimes we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but full of pride. There's no lowliness. So Shaitan says that the feature of those Muslims who will go to Jannah is that when they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are true-hearted, they are sincere, means they are mukhlis in their devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in beseeching and entreating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do they act? As humble people and in lowliness. Look, why do we make sujood? We make sujood to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you the highest, we are the low. We're kissing the ground practically. Why do we do that? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. It is the lowest respectable position. Look, we don't lie flat on our bellies. That is rude. To lie flat on one's belly like snakes, that is rudeness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a posture of lying on the ground with our foreheads on the ground, which is the most respectable part of a person's body. Of the human body, the most respectable part is his forehead. We're placing our forehead on the ground in sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most respectable and honorable position. So our hearts should also be, when we entreat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, humble and low in front of Allah. And when we make ourselves low and humble, then obviously that kind of imploration and entreaty will be acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was number 28. 29 29 kind of persons will go to Jannah, or at least the features that should be included in a Muslim which will take him to Jannah, say Shaitan, to be ever hopeful of the leniency and the mercy and the pardon of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran this ayat comes, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not give up hope in the mercy, on receiving the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as you have not committed shirk, no matter what sin it is, major, minor, no matter how many. But if one is true and sincere in seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be hopeful of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Shaitan says. He says, and this is the translation, to be ever hopeful of the leniency, the mercy and the pardon of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 50th feature, says Shaitan, is as follows, to hold a good opinion of other people. In other words, to be hopeful of the best from others. Subhanallah. Brothers, you and I castigate and condemn others so easily. So easily we rub. Because some other brother has told you about that particular person, something which is bad, you also expect the worst from that particular person. No, brothers. It is wrong for a Muslim to behave so. We must always have a good... If that person has done no harm to you, then you must always expect the best from that person. You must always have a good opinion of such a person, of others. This is one of the features of those who will go to Jannah. Alright. 31st feature is as follows, to practice abstinence, self-restraint and self-control. Now I mentioned one earlier, this is in a different, in other words, avoiding haram indulgences. To practice abstinence, avoiding haram indulgences in all kinds of activities that are haram and that are forbidden, whether it is in the form of obscenity or whether it is in the form of gambling or whether it is in the form of harming others, whatever that which Allah has declared haram, that is haram. We will not indulge. And remember, haram here is not being used in with regard to food and drink alone. Also with regard to the actions of a Muslim, all haram actions we must practice abstinence. In other words, we must abstain from all things that are haram. We must self-restraint we must have, and we must have self-control over ourselves. The 32nd feature we should have, those who will go we must have, and we must have self-control over ourselves. The 32nd feature we should have, those who will go to Jannah, say Shaitan, is to try to get closer, those who get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through meditation, through worship and through prayer. These are the forms of ibadah. Trying to come closer, a person has the desire. For example, he's got many weaknesses. Now, after listening to all this, he says, but my word, I've got so many weaknesses. How am I going to overcome these weaknesses? Well, there is a way. One is to inculcate fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does one get fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One thinks, how much control do I have over my own life? And how much control do I have over the life to come? My life which is to come, how much control do I have? In my own life, how much control do I have? Death is to come. Do I know when I'm going to die? No. What is my condition at this moment? I do not know. Are all my prayers acceptable? I hope it is acceptable, but I do not know. All right. So what control do I have? All right. I don't want to grow old, yeah. I don't want to grow old. I want to remain young and I want to live for a long time to come. Do I have a say over age? I've got no say over age. Do I know what I'm going to earn tomorrow or next year? No, I do not know. Who knows? Allah knows, but I do not know. So what amount of control do I have over myself? No control. I would like to remain healthy, fit, and in good condition all my life. Do I have power over my health? No, I have no health, no power. So what control do I have over myself? I don't know. My income? Do I have any control over my income? No. Tomorrow if I'm involved in an accident or I fall sick, what will happen with my work? I will not be able to work, consequently. Do I have any control over my work and my income? No control. Brothers, what control, what power do we have? Absolutely none in this life. In the hereafter, maut comes along, no control. Life in the qabr, do I have any control? No control. Life in the hereafter, day of judgment, whether I go to Jannah or Jahannam, I do not know. Do I have any control? Absolutely no control. So man, from the day we are born to the day we are going to die and the day we are going to be raised again, And where we go, the final result of our life, we do not know. So we have absolutely no control over our lives. So we've got to fear who? We've got to fear the one that made us. We've got to fear the one that controls our lives. Who certainly, and with yaqeen I say, that Allah controls our lives. Allah has full control. So we say we must fear that master. So fear we must have. Now we want to come closer to that Allah. Why? Because that servant and slave tries to come close to the king. How does he try to come close to his king, his majesty? By serving him most diligently. By being kind, by being useful to him. He says water, and he immediately is there with the water. He says food, and the man, he says fruit, and he's there with fruit. He tries to serve his master as best as he can, day and night. So what do? We want to come closer to our master, our king, our sustainer, our maker, our creator, our Rabb. And so we try to, how must one do so? Here it is. We do so through the forms of ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made upon us, and that is yaqeen. With yaqeen we must believe in one Allah, and we believe so that we turn to none other but only to Allah, seek from none other but only from Allah. And then of course we, all the other ibadah that we have mentioned from time to time, all the time, and prayer and worship and meditation, we sit and we think, oh Allah. And we must do this, brothers, we must get in the habit of doing so. We lead such a busy life, we don't have time to sit and think, oh Allah. Look at this nature that you have created around us. Look at the heavens, look at the earth, look at the oceans, look at the birds. Brothers, isn't it amazing? I have a small garden outside my home. And in this garden, in a palm tree branch, last year this started, birds came, pigeons, and they built a little nest in between two branches. You know, it's a nest which when the wind blows, it can fall over. But they have built it in such a way that the heaviest wind that has blown for the 2 years has not blown. And it's a delicate structure. Very delicate. You can push it with your finger. But the heaviest wind has not blown it off. Because it's placed in that way. Subhanallah. It's placed with, we have wind blowing from one direction to the other. Very seldom does it blow this way, crosswise. Always blows this way. So they've built it, the two branches are this way. So wind from this side doesn't catch it, wind from this side can, hardly any wind comes from. There's hardly any crosswind. So that delicate nest rests there, just like that few reeds and grasses and so on, they've built it. And last year a couple came, and they, twins were born, alright? And these twins are used last year and this year again. Two little birds, now the mother has taught them to fly and so on, and they fly, and they sit below that tree all the time. And I looked at it, the whole week I've been watching them, and they prance around and dance. I can even start the car, and you know it makes quite a noise, start the van, it makes quite a noise, but they don't run off. They're used to that environment, they were born there, they play around there with one another, and mother takes them, they sit on the fence, and then they fly around in the yard, and they come and sit down, they fall over, and so forth and so on, brothers. Amazing. And I look at this, I say, Ya Allah, What a wonderful sight. And then you think of Allah all the time. So what I'm saying, look around nature, look at your environment, and you say, Ya Allah, what a wonderful, what are we doing? Is this not zikrullah? This is most zikrullah. We are here discussing. So we must find time, brothers, to sit and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the kindnesses and the mercies of Allah that we see around us. Praise Allah, glorify Allah for the very things that we have on our bodies, for our hands, for all. If Allah didn't give us his hand, look at the disabled person, the one who cannot walk, the one who cannot see, the one who cannot hear, and then think of, and then thank Allah. Every time you see a person that does not have that which you have, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is zikrullah. So what I'm saying here, try and get closer to Allah and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way. Alright? 33rd feature. Say shaitan, to strive at getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is one, through ibadah. Then here's another one, say shaitan, of people who will go to Jannah, of your ummah, O Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are those who strive to get closer to you also through virtuous deeds, through kind acts, and through friendship and company of God-fearing and pious true believers. Subhanallah. Try, if you need company, try and obtain the company of pious, muttaqin, salihin people. That kind of. And here I have always advised the brothers, all through the years, that if you want the right kind of company, then associate yourself and seek the company of the Tablighi Jamaat people. These brothers strive and try their very, very best to serve the deen in the best way that they can. So if you want good company and you want to go, then go to their jours and their gatherings and their meetings and all the programs that they have and listen to what they say. I guarantee you, through my association with them running over to almost 40 years, I can tell you that they seek only the best from the ummah. No matter what propaganda has been made, false propaganda has been made about them, it is little-minded people, small-minded people that bear any kind of envy and jealousy for the those who are engaged in the work of Tabligh and Dawat. Alright? So, here it is. Also strive to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through meditation, through virtuous deeds, kind acts, and by gaining the friendship and the company of those who are salihin, muttaqin people. And here virtuous deeds and kind acts means, look, the one is ibadah, the other is giving of sadaqah. Alright? Helping, assisting, always helping and assisting other people in whatever way you can. There's so many ways. We do not want to go into details of all those things, right? Even helping a blind person across the road, or helping him and giving him a hand, or a sick person, helping him and carrying him, serving him, giving him his food. There may be a disabled person, helping him, giving him a tray of food, or taking fruits for him. Or there is a sick person, you know, a sick Muslim brother near you, or in hospital, you're going to him, taking a little something for him and giving it to him. Things like that. That is what I mean by virtuous deeds and kind acts, alright? If you know that there is an alim that has come from overseas and he is in that masjid, go and listen to him. What is that? It's a good deed, it's a good act. Alright? So, things like that. And of course, if there's a thorn in the way or stones in the way, how many of us, how often we see things lying in the road when we are driving? Right, you may see something fallen off a truck, maybe a cardboard, maybe bricks and stones fallen off a truck that was carting goods or bricks, right? It happens very often. But how many of us will stop on the side of the road and remove that stone from the road? You tell me, how many of us will do that? No, it's Muslim, maybe Zaghiti. We will not care. And yet, our duty as Muslims is, if we see something which will be an obstruction to somebody else, a big truck may be going, it may hit that brick and smash somebody's a window, alright? So, what happens then? And yet you pass by. So, those are all good acts, that is what I'm saying, brothers. Things like that, even little things like that are very important. When you do that, you come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I say, I don't want to elaborate very much, otherwise we will go into a lot of details. I want to finish this a few minutes more. Number 34, say Shaitan, is as follows. Of the people who go to Jannah, of your ummah, of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is those who go through life with gladness and with satisfaction. Subhanallah. You know, Muslims, we must know, many of us think we must lead a very sad life and a very hard life and so on. No. You must be very open. You must enjoy your life in the right way. Alright? And live a good life, a life of satisfaction, a life of willingness. Not shut yourself up. That is forbidden for us. That hermit nun type of life, of cutting yourself away from society completely, is forbidden for us. We must be open. We must know our right, what is halal, what is permissible, what is logical, what is correct and true. The things that are straight, we must do so. So we must live with gladness and satisfaction. We must be satisfied with our life on earth. And we can only be satisfied and happy with our lives when we know that to the best of our ability we are living in obedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 35th feature, to show kindness, to show politeness, and to show affection towards others. Subhanallah. Today we have a lot of weakness in this matter, brothers. We are not always kind and polite to others, particularly those that are lesser than ourselves or perhaps lower in rank or who are our juniors. This is totally wrong. We must show kindness towards everybody. We must be polite towards others. We must not be hostile towards others, in other words. And we must show affection and love towards others. The 36th feature of those who will go to Jahannam, say Shaitan, are those who show courtesy, grace, benignity, softness, and tenderness towards the world, towards nature. We must love this nature. This nature is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cats, dogs, animals, plants, whatever lives around us, are all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all engaged in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must show unto the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unto this world, kindness and grace, softness and tenderness. 37th feature, to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which I mentioned, like sadaqah. That is the 37th feature of the people who will go to Jannah according to shaitan. The 38th feature is to be just, to be justice loving, to be fair, equitable and impartial. Subhanallah. Basically it means to be just towards others. To be just, to love justice, to be fair, to be equitable and to be impartial towards others. 39th feature is as follows, to judge quickly and to discriminate fairly between good and bad, between virtue and between evil. In other words, brothers, we must not take a lot of time. We must know our deen. And when we have to make a judgment, if we are not capable of making a judgment, we must withdraw. But those of us who have the capacity to make a judgment between that which is right and that which is wrong, and all of us do, very few amongst us will not be able to do so. We know. If a brother says dancing, we know it is haram. We can make up our mind immediately. He says party, we know where we stand. He says girls, we know where we stand. He says women, we know where we stand. We know what is right, what is wrong. Anything obscene, we say no, I cannot. He says here's a publication, this is a Playboy publication or Playgirl publication. We say no, haram, pornography is totally forbidden. I will not look at it. So on. So we must, those of us who can judge quickly, when we judge, we must judge quickly, we must and discriminate fairly between the good and the bad, between virtue and between evil. We must be very positive in our lives. The 40th feature, few more to go and then we'll end off this section. 40th feature, says Shaitan, of the people of your ummah who will go to Jannah are as follows. To help and assist in good deeds and tasks. Whenever any good work is carrying on anywhere, then you must help and assist in good deeds and good tasks and good activities. Alright? That is very important. For example, here the Jamaat is having somewhere a jor, masjid has to be clean, it's day of Jum'ah, and you live close by. Now you do not say in your mind, oh, no, there is a person in charge, he must see to the cleaning of the masjid. There's that one. No, brothers, it is our duty. The cleaning of the masjid is such a noble act and such a rewarding act. We must fall in. This is a big masjid, for example. There may be one man in charge in this masjid, or in the masjid in nearby us, who is in charge of cleaning up on Fridays. Tell me, how many of us have lent a hand? So many of us are free on Fridays, alright? Well, we will never think of going and shampooing that carpet, or cleaning it up, or seeing to the doors and seals. You go into so many masjids, brothers, there's dust lying all over the masjid, alright? None of us think that one poor man has to do the whole job. He's in charge, we pay him for it, so it's his job. That is muazzin, adhan, and many other things and duties. So many places these things are not carried out. Brothers, we must see to the cleanliness of our masjids and our madaris. So many of us don't even care. Our children go to the madrasa, no concern of ours anymore. All good deeds, all good actions, we must lend a hand. These are the kind of people. This is one of the features that will take them to Jannah. 41st one, to consider, to ponder and to reflect over every matter very, very carefully, and to weigh it with thought, with circumspection and with care, and to be anxious and apprehensive about it. Subhanallah. Brothers, we can never be sure. We can never be sure about any matter. Therefore, everything that we do, for example, I'll give an example. You go and you purchase something and you buy something. Alright? It may be meat. Alright, you buy meat and you bring it. Alright? Or any other thing that we eat. Or somebody comes to your house, for example, and he sells you an item. You buy it. But you do not know whether that item is stolen or not. You have no, first time the person has come, he sold you an item, you have no idea whether it is stolen or not. Apprehensive means all the time you buy it and you use it or you eat it and you say, oh Allah, let it be acceptable to you. Let it be halal, oh Allah. Let it be permissible for me, and so on. So this is how this shaitan puts it. He says to consider, those who consider and ponder and reflect over every matter, every issue very carefully, and they weigh it with thought, care and circumspection, and they are anxious and apprehensive about it. These are the type of people who will go to Jannah. In other words, what they are showing here is that they are totally dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even after knowing, they are not absolutely sure. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sure. They are showing their their humanity in this way. Even when, for example, a decision is taken, right? A decision is taken where you are the Amir, you have to decide. And once you decide, everybody has to carry that particular order of yours out. That hukum you have given, or judgment that you have passed, then you are apprehensive. You say, oh Allah, I hope and I pray that I have given the right decision. Oh Allah, help me and guide me in the decision that I have made. This is what it means. Only Allah knows. We do not. 42. The 42nd kind of person, the features that make up those who will go to Jannah, say Shaitan, is those who think matters through to its conclusion. Allahu Akbar. I'm giving a certain decision. I'm giving it in the light of this reason. In other words, you think it through. It's not a short-term thing. It's a long-term thing. Your planning is long-term to the best of your ability. People may not see it that way, but you plan and you give decisions on to think matters through to its conclusion. For example, you say, now I have to send my son to a madrasa. Now there are three madrasas in my area. Alright, the one madrasa is like this, the other one is like that, the other one is like that. In my estimation, that particular madrasa, madrasa number three, has got the most pious teachers. Alright, on the basis of that, I will choose that my child go and learn in that particular madrasa. This is the type of thing we are talking about. To think a matter through to its conclusion, that my son, if he studies at that madrasa, there is hope that he will not only learn the good things about Islam, but he will also learn about a Muslim life. On the basis, though number one is a very nice madrasa, a very good madrasa, very modern people, the people who teach there all have lovely suits on and ties on, and they come, they earn well, they look well, they are very presentable people. Madrasa number two has got many people teaching in there that have grand bazaars and grand fetes, and you know, they take their children all over, they are well to do, they have buses and they take the children out all over the show. The third madrasa is a poor madrasa, its fees are the lowest and so on, but it has got pious people teaching there. This is the type of thing. One example I'm giving you. So you think a matter, you deliberate, you considerate, and you think which is the best for your child. And all other issues you think through. So what basically it means is to think matters through to its logical conclusion, to the best of your ability naturally. These are the type of people who do not look at the facade. Everything that glitters is not gold. So you look below the cover and you look behind it, and then you try to make up your mind. Alright? That is number 42. Number 43, says Shaitan, is as follows. To be engaged in pious deeds all the time. Every time, no matter what you do, you try to see to it that the act that you are engaged in, the actions that you are engaged in, are always good and pious deeds. Do not indulge in anything which is forbidden, or which is in distaste, or which is immoral. Now those who engage in pious deeds all the time, these are kind of people who will go to Jannah. Number 44, to be ever thankful for worldly endowments and favors. To be ever thankful for worldly endowments and favors, which means that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with, whether it is little or whether it is more, alright, you have a little bit of furniture in your home, you always have a little bit of things in your fridge. You go to your neighbor, you go outside, you go to your friends, the house is lavish, the carpets are lavish, the furnishings are lavish, everything is good, the fridges are stocked, several fridges in the home, right? The wardrobes are full of clothing. Every time you go there, they show you the new shoes that they have bought, the new clothing that they have bought, and the new fixtures and fittings they have bought, and the new implements they have bought, the new TV, the new radio, the new television, the new things, all that. Every time you go, there's something glittering, something glamorous coming into the home. And yet, by comparison, your house has got just patches of carpet maybe, a simple 30-year-old fridge maybe, and few things, and you say, Alhamdulillah, oh Allah, I am thankful. So this is what he said, to be ever thankful for worldly, whatever worldly endowments and favor, the little that you have, the pieces of carpet that you have, the few things that you have, you must be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once you do so, then Shaitan says, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are the kind of people who will go to Jannah from your ummah. Number 45. There are 47 numbers, we are on to number 45 now. Number 45 is to appear with a cheerful countenance and an open-heartedness towards others. Subhanallah. Brothers, this I have given in many other ways also. To be open-hearted, always cheerful, open-hearted, brave, courageous, nothing to hide, not with the eyes sliding and so on, hidden eyes, slit eyes, you know, looking away, no. No, those slit glances and hidden away type of features, no. Now this, I said earlier, is where people look shamelessly directly in your face. What I meant there is not man to man. Here I'm talking about where a completely total strange man looks into the eyes of a totally strange female, or vice versa. That when I spoke first about that, that is a type of person, I mean, where they should be haya. Remember, under there I discussed, here we're discussing something else. Here we're discussing to be open-hearted, to have a cheerful countenance and an open-heartedness towards others. In other words, being honest, basic honesty towards others, openly discussing and openly talking with others, not hiding things away and trying to be secretive. Number 46 is as follows: to be open-hearted in feeding and in caring for one's family and one's children. Very important. Brothers, don't be selfish. Do not be greedy. Do not, in feeding your family, your wife. Allah provides. The father, here mostly we are talking about the father. It means that he must be very open-hearted. Never be selfish. Never. Whatever you can, to the best of your ability, do not hesitate in feeding your family. Feed your family well. Feed the wife and children. Look after them. Three things the man is supposed to provide for a wife. And that is food and shelter and clothing. Do not skimp on that, particularly in food. Feed them well, see to it that they are well looked after. There are those families that require 3 loaves of bread a day. Do not buy 1 loaf or 1.5 loaf or 2 loaves. If you have to buy, Allah has given you. If Allah has not given you, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the people who try to put money away by suffering themselves. There are people like this, many hundreds, thousands of families that do this, where the father and the mother says, no, you know, we must put away as much as we can. And now they save on food. Instead of buying the necessary amount, they try to skimp. That's the time. No, don't do that. That is against the team. So what does Shaitan say? Those who feed those fathers, parents who feed their family with open-heartedness, with love and with care, they are the kind of people who go to Jannah. And the last number coming up that Shaitan describes as those who will go to Jannah are the Muslims who live with ease and moderation. Subhanallah. Ease and moderation. Right? They are moderate. No extra indulgences, meaning no extravagance. No excesses, no wastage, right? But they live with moderation. Never will you find in their homes that where one pot of food is needed, they cook 3 pots or 2 pots of food. No. Where there is wastage and you find in the dirt bin, going into the dirt bin, all the leftovers. After each meal, yes, brothers, there are. I hear from many people, from servants in particular that are working in this home, how people waste the plates and plates of food. The children eat, and perhaps 2 pieces of steak are put into the plate, or 2 chops are put in there. The children eat half a chop or 1 chop, and the rest is just left on the plate, and the mother and father just walk off to go and sit at the TV. Ajib. They go and sit there, and they go away, they dress up and they are gone, and the servant gives the children food, half the plate is eaten, half is messed, 3/4 is messed, 1/4 is eaten, and the rest is taken into the dirt bins. Yes. Neighbors are going hungry around them, no problem, but so much wasted. So this is what I'm saying, moderation and living with ease. At the end, Shaitan says, these qualities, in my estimation, says Shaitan, are the signs of the believers who will go to Jannah, who will enter Jannah. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Brother, owls howl in the home and things like that, and sometimes people say they even see what you and I refer to, tikaloshis, plain manichis, and all these strange incidents that take place, people have seen. What are we going to, in other words, how are we going to do that in our lesson? Now, brothers, what is happening is those things, and how to, if you encounter such a thing, either in your home, or a friend's home, or a neighbor home, what must you do? Now, a special section, that calls for a special section. Basically, it's shaitan, or the evil jinns, that take on these evil shapes. And they can be found running around and messing around. What must we as a Muslim, because many Muslim homes are affected as well, non-Muslim homes, but Muslim homes as well, what must we do? This means that what this brother in particular and others are calling on that have asked me, it means that we'll have to do a special chapter on this. We will have to bring in towards the end of our lesson where we're going to do these phenomena, how they appear, why they appear,
Alright, remember we discussed already where Shaitan says he will put the old women folk to indulge in these acts. But, I mean, that's not, it could be that an enemy of yours, now this happens, there are hundreds of cases where people, I become an enemy of somebody, so I go to a witch doctor. I go to an African witch doctor or a Hindu witch doctor and I tell him that, look, I've got a problem with Mr. X or Mrs. X and I want you to dukum that particular person. Alright, or to do some sahar on that particular person. And then that person does away, he says, look, it'll cost you 500 rand or 1,000 rand, they're very expensive. And then they do certain filthy works. As a result of work, of this filthy work, a demon, a shaitan is released onto that particular person and he creates all this. What must we as Muslims do to protect ourselves from this? Well, there is a way. And that means we'll have to do a special chapter, which I did mention earlier we were going to do. But look, these special chapters will come towards the end of our lesson. So we are going to do it definitely. It is important, but it will come later in our lesson. We are doing now this
interview and conversation between Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and shaitan. And after this, what are we actually going to go back and do a few more qissas that I have missed out. Because it was Ramadan and we wanted to do this in the last week of, at least in the last week of Ramadan. We are doing it. I want to finish this up and then we'll go back to those stories. We will do those few stories that still remain. Then here is one cutting that has been handed to me in which a researcher, supposed to be a great scholar, says that Jesus never existed. Alright, brothers must have read. Well, this goes on amongst them, brothers, is, you know, it's all theoretical. The whole concept of the Trinity is a creation, it's an illusion, it's just, you know, it's fantasy, they've merely created it, and this goes on. But strangely enough, this man's name, he carries almost a Muslim-sounding name, Mr. Ahmed Osman. And this is what is causing a lot of confusion. Well, I must tell you, in the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, even before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, and during his period, and even now, there are many Arab Christians with Muslim names. Right? There's Muhammad is a famous name amongst them, meaning, but they with them, it's the praised one. Ahmed is a famous name, Osman is a famous name, Abdullah is a famous name. All those are famous names amongst the Christians. I was surprised. I spent quite a few months in Azhar doing a postgraduate study, and many students that were studying with me in the postgraduate classes used to recite Quran just like that, verses like that. Even before I can think of an ayat, they used to stand up and say it. And strangely enough, I found out afterwards that they were Christian students. So it's strange, but there it is. There are Christians who study Islam. Whatever their purpose is, Allah knows best. So we have those strange events occurring. But don't worry about all those things. These are merely theories that they advance. Sometimes Jesus Christ does exist, sometimes he doesn't exist, and so on. They themselves have a very confusing religion. Brothers, and in this, all right, let's do this also with Islam. There's no confusion. If anybody ever tries to create confusion in Islam, we outcast him. We declare him a heretic, a murtad, and we say that that man is out of the fold of Islam. Islam has never been afraid to remove anybody from its fold, even if he carries a Muslim name, and no matter how learned he is, if he proves to be a shaitan, and he causes the ummah to suffer. Right, let's start our lesson. Any questions, you can ask me afterwards. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله All thanks and praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker, our creator, and our sustainer, Allah, our master, Allah. And we send darud and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah ta'ala, the final rasul of Allah to mankind, Sayyidina wa Nabina, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, our subject is Shaitan's plan for man. One Ramadan we commenced with, that was of the year 1411 of the Hijrah. Then came the Ramadan of the year 1412 of the Hijrah. That was 1 year continuous we were doing these lessons on Sundays after Salah of Asr in this masjid, the Masjid al-Sabr of Primrose Park in Cape Town, South Africa. Now we find ourselves that Shawwal has gone and Zilqa'dah is here. And we are still busy with the same subject. At this moment of time, we are doing a conversation that was held between Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Shaitan al-Rajim, Shaitan the Accursed One. We've reached the stage where Shaitan has outlined to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam the qualities of the persons, the Muslimin, the believers, the Mu'mineen who will enter Jannah. I remarked last week that it is very important for us to learn what these habits and qualities are, and then to try to bring them into our lives, to adapt them and adopt them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ended off by telling Shaitan that, verily, I have memorized whatever you have said in this regard. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that conversation about which I spoke last week on Sunday, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ended off that conversation with Shaitan with the words, "All right, Shaitan, I have put into my memory, I have memorized, and I will inform my people, my sahabas, my companions, all the things you have said in this regard, in regard to the qualities that will take my people, my followers into Jannah." Now, the commentary of that particular section of the conversation is as follows. 47 signs have been given by Shaitan to characterize the mu'mineen, muslimin, who will go to Jannah. These descriptions are very apt and very befitting and worthy of being adopted and practiced by each and every Muslim. We now know what features and qualities are required of the Muslimin to be successful in the hereafter, in the Akhirah, and these habits naturally constitute the characteristics and features which lead to a highly successful, absorbing, interesting and contented life in this world, even if the means of life are very meager. In other words, even if a man has to do with very little, earns very little, and has a simple and modest home, it is good enough, it does not matter. He must try and bring these qualities into his life, and if he does not have some of them, he must work towards attaining them. Shaitan maps out the kind of life that every Muslim should seek to live. The qualities he mentions of Jannah are mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah over and over again, with great stress and with great emphasis, and they make for a marvelous and an outstanding personality, a person respected by all and feared by none. This is a remarkable quality of a Muslim, that he should have within him such qualities of personality and character that everybody respects him and nobody fears him. These are all lessons which can be inculcated and developed by all of us, and in this way we will certainly find release from the ministrations of Shaitan. From what? From the ministrations of Shaitan, which means whisperings and the evil suggestions that Shaitan makes into us, which we generally term as waswas. For they are powerful contenders with the astuteness and deception of Shaitan. What are contenders with Shaitan? Those qualities that have been mentioned here of the Jannah goers. These are the signs that Shaitan fears in man, for they block and they prevent him from leading men astray. Shaitan finds it very hard to deceive those who develop and educate themselves in these disciplines and codes of behavior and conduct, which have been mentioned as the qualities of the people who will go and enter Jannah. We have so much in Islam. Why should we seek answers and solutions for our problems and our stresses and our tensions in ways and in avenues other than the Islamic one? Why should we turn to kuffar sources for direction of conduct and for acquiring and learning the teachings and disciplines of life? So many of us are drawn towards studying the secular systems of conduct and behavior. It is a pity that we do so. The reason is obviously that we are not aware of the beautiful teachings of the Quran and the beautiful Sunnah of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The teachings of Islam have a divine origin and they have a moral basis which is pure. They are therefore perfect for man. Those of the unbelievers, the ways of the unbelievers, the characterization or the character portfolio and behavior build-up of the unbelievers lack both divinity, in other words, divine origin. They are not based on wahi, and they also lack a moral basis. In other words, the moral basis does not form their foundation, despite claims to the contrary, and are subject to timeous changes and blatant infringements. Thus they are unreliable and unworthy for Muslims to follow. The Islamic formula is so beautiful and so worthy to follow that each one of us must try to train ourselves to practice and to follow the noble qualities which Islam instructs Muslims in. Thereby our lives will become many times more meaningful and precious than what it is now. We will arm and edify ourselves to an extent that we cannot conceive at the moment, and our life will become a very fulfilling one. Why lead a lackluster and an empty life, or a life filled with worries and problems of all kinds, when we can incline the same life which is so filled with frustrations, we can incline it to a life of great meaning, of great sacrifice, of great joy, of great satisfaction, of great contentment and ever increasing happiness. This is not denied to Muslims, but such contentment, peace and happiness, such security of mind and heart can be gained, but it must be gained through the character, the qualities that we have been taught by Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There lies your formula. Nothing is beyond us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not placed and required of us and commanded us towards any quality of life and character which is beyond our ability. Allah has created us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we can develop these qualities and maintain these qualities within us. Any Muslim who says that he cannot develop such qualities within him, he is lying, he is deceiving himself. He has fallen prey to the designs of shaitan and the seductions of shaitan. All he has to do is to try and ask and seek Allah's help, make tawbah and istighfar prior to making this dua, and then he must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him to develop these qualities and character and personality within him. All we have to do is to live according to the codes of conduct and behavior as elucidated and recommended by Islam and as mentioned above, both in pointing out the habits and beliefs of those who will go to Jahannam and those who will go to Jannah, which have been enlisted here as 57 qualities of people and traits of people which will damn them to Jahannam, and 47 qualities that will and features and characteristics that will take the Muslimin to Jannah. These can be developed within us. I mention once again that 57 habits and signs that are abominable, that are haram and abhorred in Islam, have been mentioned with regard to those who will go to hell and burn eternally in the fires of hell, something that no Muslim desires, an end that no Muslim wants, a wasted life on earth. And there are 47 characteristics and features that have been listed, as mentioned earlier, relating to those who will go to paradise and to the eternal and the comfortable and highly approved and recommended life of the hereafter in Jannah. By discarding and avoiding those that are abhorred and adopting those that are preferred and espoused by Islam, we will be building ourselves into strong individuals, into powerful families, and into united, strong, powerful and peaceful congregations. These habits have to be fostered and nurtured, however, and only then can Muslim society think of moving further and advancing to higher goals. When character is lacking, look where our problem lies, when character is lacking, when shallowness is prevalent, when insincerity is rampant in Muslim society, when materiality is paramount in our thoughts and in our ambitions, in our minds, when grossness is existent in our lives, and when pride is permanent, then the Ummah has a very serious problem with progress in the Islamic sense. For all the vital ingredients for promotion and progress are non-existent in Muslim society. That is the serious problem that confronts the Ummah now. We have too much selfishness, too much greed. We have too many seeking the limelight. We have too many sellouts within us, too many hypocrites, too many squanderers, too many extravagant people, too many know-alls, too few sincere people,
too few dedicated people, too few truly devoted people. And I say, and all of us say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and help us all, the Muslimin. Ameen. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Shaitan, that is the end of the commentary that I have given. Here again I have remarked on the essential quality of building up character and avoiding and restraining ourselves from bad character. The next question we are going to deal with is a very interesting one, and you will have to listen very carefully since I am not going to elaborate very much on it. I will give a commentary, it will be fairly brief. The question which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now asks Shaitan in the graveyard of Medina, Jannatul Baqi, is the following. He says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, tell me, why do you, O accursed one, not beseech Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness? Shaitan, you, the accursed one, tell me, why do you not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness? You are so clever. You know so much. You know the whole history of Islam. You know the Quran. You can recite it so well. You know me, who is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You recognize and know me to be the final messenger of Allah Ta'ala. You know that I carry the final message. You know that my message is essential to believe in order to succeed. Yet you reject me. You reject Allah. You come at kufr and shirk. You encourage other peoples. You lead them towards kufr and shirk. You lead them astray. Why do you do all these evil things, Shaitan? Why do you not make tawbah? Why do you not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you? And then you become a Muslim and become obedient, an obedient slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you were prior to becoming Shaitan. This is the question which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam poses and places before Shaitan. Here comes Shaitan's reply. Shaitan's replied. He said, O Muhammad, you are the chosen and the anointed of Allah Ta'ala. You are the chosen and the anointed of Allah Ta'ala. Are you asking me to do that which is beyond my jurisdiction, meaning beyond my power, as it is not within the decree of Allah Ta'ala? Listen to this reply. Are you asking me to do that which is beyond my power, beyond my jurisdiction, as it is not within the decree of Allah Ta'ala, as me asking forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala is not decreed by Allah Ta'ala? Watch what Shaitan is saying. Shaitan's reply is a very clever one, so you'll have to mark very carefully. I'll give you the commentary and the breakdown just now. What I'm giving you now is just his reply. But the reply is so astute, so sharp, so clever, that you'll have to watch his words very carefully. He says, O Muhammad, you are the chosen and the anointed of Allah Ta'ala. Are you asking me, you, in other words, in brackets, you who should know better, are you asking me to do that which is beyond my power, beyond my scope, beyond my jurisdiction, as this is not within the decree of Allah Ta'ala? For me to ask tawbah is not within the decree of Allah Ta'ala. Shaitan says, let me give you an example. Allah Ta'ala instructed Nabi, Shaitan is clever, brothers, you'll have to follow carefully. Allah Ta'ala, Shaitan says, I'm giving an example. Allah Ta'ala, Shaitan says, I'm giving you an example. Allah Ta'ala instructed Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, do not partake of this tree. But Allah Ta'ala held the decree that Adam alayhi salam should partake of it. Remember, Shaitan, I want to tell you here, Shaitan does not say alayhi salam. Shaitan does not say sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I am saying it, alright? Because it comes out, as I have mentioned before, automatically on my lips. Habit. So, look at Shaitan's example. He says, Allah Ta'ala instructed Nabi Adam alayhi salam, do not partake of this tree, the tree that stood in Jannah. But Allah Ta'ala made this decree made this declaration, issued this command that Adam should partake of it. And so Adam naturally did. You understand, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In the same way, says Shaitan, Allah Ta'ala commanded me, meaning Shaitan, Allah Ta'ala commanded me, make sujood of Adam, make sijda of Adam, prostrate to Adam. But Allah decreed that I should not make sujood of Adam, that I should not prostrate myself to Adam. And so I did not bow down to Adam. If Allah had so decreed, then I would have certainly prostrated to Adam. For if Allah had so decreed, then Adam would not have partaken of that fruit of that tree. Watch his calculation and reasoning, and you must know how clever and smart Shaitan is from this reply. If Allah had so decreed, then I would have certainly prostrated to Adam. Allah Ta'ala has created Jannah, O Muhammad. Allah Ta'ala has created Jannah, and for Jannah Allah has created its inhabitants, its dwellers. And Allah has decreed the means and the reasons for going into Jannah, for putting people into Jannah. It is on this basis that Allah Ta'ala revealed to you this ayat. Now Shaitan is now providing Quran proofs for what he is saying. You listen to this now. You understood the first part of his lesson. In other words, you are asking me to ask for Tawbah and seek forgiveness. I cannot ask because Allah has not decreed it so. Basically this is what Shaitan is saying. He gives two examples. He says, look, Adam took the tree that was haram for him to eat from. He partook of the from that tree and he ate of it because Allah had so decreed. If Allah had not decreed so, then Adam would not have eaten of that fruit. So as Adam was helpless, so I was helpless, because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked me to make sujood of Adam, Allah ta'ala did not decree that I do so, but Allah ta'ala decreed that I do not make sujood of Adam. So I have to be obedient to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I did so. I had no choice in the matter. He says, you know, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm going to now provide you proofs from Quran for what I am saying. The fact that man, when Allah decrees, then man has no choice in the matter. Here's the proofs coming up from the Quran, and Shaitan will now recite several ayats of the Quran to prove his point. He says, Shaitan says, it is on this basis that Allah Ta'ala revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, revealed to you this ayat, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Shaitan says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ. Shaitan didn't read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Shaitan merely said, in the Quran it is written, like people are fond of reciting today sometimes. No bismillah, no respect, no wudu, no problem. Shaitan said, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوهُ. Surah An'am, 6th surah of the Quran, ayat number 112. Shaitan says, Allah Ta'ala revealed to you, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوهُ. And had your sustainer so willed, so decreed, then they, shaitans, could not have done so. They would not have done so. In other words, here it means, shaitan would not have whispered evil suggestions to deceive people. This ayat means, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوهُ. And had your Rabb, had your sustainer so decreed, then the shaitans would not have whispered evil suggestions to people. Got the ayat straight. If shaitan willed it so, then shaitan, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed it so, decreed it so, then shaitan would not have been able to put evil thoughts into people's minds and people's hearts. Clear ayat of the Quran, 6th surah of the Quran, surah Anam, ayat number 112. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, if Allah had so decreed, shaitan would not have been able to mess around with people. Alright? Proof number one shaitan gives, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he says, and has Allah ta'ala not revealed to you, meaning to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another ayat. Where is the proof coming from? The highest source of Islamic proof, which is Quran. He says, Allah ta'ala says in the Quran,
أَفَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Surah Fatir, 35th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 8. Shaitan recites this ayat, and then Shaitan tells the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the following. Has not Allah Ta'ala revealed to you, أَفَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ أَمَلِهِ فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Is he then whose evil work has been made to look pleasing to him so that he deems it good? Be like one who perceives and practices the good and the truth. Verily Allah sends astray whom he will and guides whom he will. So allow not your soul to expire, O Muhammad, in sighings for them. Verily Allah knows all that they do. Here is important, now I'll explain it. Shaitan says, has Allah Ta'ala not revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is he then whose evil work has been made to look good and pleasing to him so that he deems it good? What does Shaitan do? Shaitan makes evil look good to people. Evil look blessed to people. Evil look rewarding to people. So the Quran, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks this question to whom? To the Muslimin. That those whose evil work, whose sinful work, whose abominable work, whose haram deeds are made to look good for them by Shaitan, are they equivalent to those who avoid such things? Who avoid evil work, who abstain from evil work, who do good deeds? Is the evil one, which evil person? The evil person who has been made to commit the evil by the waswas of Shaitan. Is such a person equal to the good and the pious person? This is a question that is asked of the Muslimin. Alright? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily Allah sends astray whom He wills, whom He wants to. And Allah guides whom Allah wants to. So, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not allow your soul, do not allow your ruh to worry about them. Verily Allah knows all the things that they do. You know why this ayat came down? Briefly, this ayat came down for Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was crying for his ummah. People, he made out, eventually in his ummah, there would be people who would be doing evil deeds, and then they would be praising it as being good. They would do evil deeds, they will commit sins, and they will describe it as being good deeds, as being deeds that bring great reward. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was worrying and crying over this all the time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya, O my beloved Rasul, these evil things that they do is evil that is made to look good for them by Shaitan. Those people, those evildoers, definitely are not equal to those who abstain from such evil deeds. Evil work and evildoers are not the equivalent of pious people. And then Allah Ta'ala says, Allah guides whom He will, and Allah sends astray whom He will. In brackets, as a result of their deeds and their actions. So Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my beloved one, do not worry about these things. That is for me to sort out. Now of course Shaitan again, we go back to the reply. Shaitan says, third proof Shaitan is now providing to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the third proof is as follows. He says, and has Allah Ta'ala not revealed to you? فَأَغَشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ فَأَغَشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Surah Yasin, 36th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 9. Shaitan says, and has Allah Ta'ala not told you in the Quran, and we, meaning and Allah, has covered them with darkness so that they cannot see? O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does Allah Ta'ala not say in the Quran and Pak that Allah has covered certain people with darkness so that they cannot see? Who has covered them with darkness? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why has He covered them with darkness? So that they cannot see. So, what I am saying, Shaitan says, what I am saying, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what I am saying basically is Allah has the power to do as He decrees. And when Allah says that Shaitan makes sujood of Adam and I disobey, then my disobedience is due to the decree of Allah ta'ala. Now, as I say, you watch it. What He is saying, who is the guilty party? Na'uzubillah. What Shaitan is saying, now you watch his scheme and his cleverness in reply. He is abandoning all claim to having committed any wrong. And Shaitan is hereby instructing his followers that whatever sin and wrong you do, you must just pass it on to Allah. And say, well, I committed the murder. What must I do? Allah decreed it so. You judge, you see what he's trying to, he is giving a dalil. He is providing a reason, an excuse for the commission of sin and evil. And then of course saying that we are totally absolved and innocent of all such sin, for God had so decreed. Understand? But anyway, let's proceed now to Shaitan. Shaitan proceeds to say now, he says, O Muhammad, in the face of these ayat of the Quran, what choice have these unfortunate and destitute people who have been destined to these unfortunate circumstances by the decree of Allah Ta'ala of undoing such divine authority or acting conversely to divine authority? What choice have we, what choice have the sinners got? What choice have I, Shaitan, got when Allah has so decreed? In the same way, Allah Ta'ala also says, now Shaitan is going on to provide the Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with a fourth proof for his disobedience of a hukum and a command of Allah Ta'ala. He says, look, you asking me to ask forgiveness. How can I ask forgiveness when it is Allah's decree that I must not ask for forgiveness? He is giving his fourth dalil and he says, Allah Ta'ala, has Allah Ta'ala not revealed to you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُرِذِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُطَحِّرَ قُلُوبَهُمْ لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ Surah Ma'idah, 5th Surah of the Quran, Ayat number 51. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُرِذِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُطَحِّرَ قُلُوبَهُمْ لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ Say Shaitan, these are they whose hearts Allah is not willing to cleanse, to purify. They will have humiliation, they will have disgrace in this world, and in the hereafter they will suffer from severe torment. He says, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, here is the decree of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Pak, these are they whose hearts Allah is not willing to cleanse. There are certain category of people where Allah has decreed Allah will not clean their hearts, Allah will not purify their hearts. They will be humiliated and disgraced in this dunya, and in the hereafter they will suffer the punishment of Jahannam. Now that is Allah's decree. Now what choice have those people got? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are asking me to ask Allah, to beseech Allah, to beg Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness for me leading people into sin and evil. How can I ask when Allah's decree is that I do so? That I create mischief on earth, that I lead people towards mischief and sin and evil, kufr and shirk and so on. Fifth dalil Shaitan is giving, all from Quran. Shaitan says, and has Allah Ta'ala not also told you, O Muhammad, in the Quran, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَى مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَيْسَ بِضَارِّهِمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ Surah Mujadila, 58 Surah of the Quran, Ayat number 10. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَى مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَيْسَ بِضَارِّهِمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ Verily, whispering, conspiring is only from the shaitan, that he may cause grief to those who believe, but he cannot harm them at all but by leave from Allah. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar, listen to the Quran, what shaitan is saying. He's saying, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to you, the final messenger, that verily whispering, waswas, tempting people, conspiring with people, is from shaitan. That he may cause grief to those who believe, that he may harm the believers, that he may mislead the believers. But says Allah, illa bi'iznillah, but shaitan cannot mislead the believers, cause harm and injury to the believers, except by the ijazah, except by the izn, except by the permission, except by leave from Allah. You understand what shaitan is saying here? After saying all this, in support of his spurious contentions, shaitan said with a smirk, now the final point that shaitan makes, he says all this, he explains it to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is listening to him. And then after saying all this, shaitan said with a smirk, now tell me, in the face of all these facts that I have enumerated to you, that I have mentioned, what choice is there for me but to have done what I did, when Allah Ta'ala chose to make me go astray? Allah decreed, and Allah knew all the time, that I'm not going to make sijda. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala told me to make sijda of Adam, but Allah Ta'ala decreed that I should not make sijda. He is my maker, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if he commands and he decrees, nothing in the world, not all the forces in the world, can make sijda of Adam. Allah said make sijda of Adam, but Allah decreed that I must not make sijda. So what must I do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that I should not seek, make tawbah, that I should not seek forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. Now, what am I going to do about this? You asking me I must make tawbah for my sins and my wrongs, and I must become a good Muslim, and I must become your follower. How can I do this when I'm helpless in the situation, since it is a decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I should not seek forgiveness? Commentary coming up. The commentary is as follows. What a smirking, what a self-satisfied, what a contemptible, what a self-centered, what an arrogant and supposedly intellectual challenge to the integrity, piety, purity and humility of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what a self-centered reply this is to the intelligence of the entire ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, even today there are people that use this kind of shaitani argument. They have learnt their lesson from their teacher, their master, shaitan. Where shaitan? I have said it, and supposedly intellectual challenge. There are many amongst us today that consider themselves as intellectuals, and they try and make all kinds of excuses and justification for their sinful actions that they have learnt from their ustad, shaitan. Shaitan is once again running a scam of deceit and forgery, but it sounds so logical, so reasonable, and so appealing to the ignorant peoples that one is tempted to believe shaitan when he produces such an argument. This is the kind of scam and conspiracy of deception and lies that shaitan weaves in the world, making untruth sound like truth, and making deception to appear like honesty, making sin look like virtue, and making evil appear as if it was good, making halal into haram and vice versa. Shaitan is cunning, shaitan is devilish, shaitan is shrewd, shaitan is scheming. He never mentions, here comes now the true jawab with regard to this matter. Many of you may also be wondering that it sounds reasonable, shaitan has no choice. If Allah Ta'ala tells shaitan, what we are wondering in our minds at the moment is, shaitan, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala tells shaitan to make sujood of Adam alayhi salam, but Allah decrees that he shouldn't make sujood. So shaitan does not make sujood. Shaitan wants to make tawbah for all his sins, but Allah Ta'ala has decreed he must not make tawbah. So how can he make tawbah? Now we are now wondering, because it sounds to us as if shaitan's reasoning is correct, is a justifiable one. What can the reply be? Here comes the reply. Remember that everything, the result of anything, is as a consequence of actions and deeds. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that one cannot see, Allah ta'ala places curtains in front of one's eyes, veils in front, that he cannot hear, that he cannot see, that he cannot understand. Why does Allah do so? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree so? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree so because that person has been involved in many forms of dishonesty, many forms of evil and sin. So the decree is a formulation, a resultant upon actions and deeds. And beliefs, obviously. Alright? So here it is. The reply coming up. Shaitan, in giving this reply to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Shaitan, he does not mention anywhere whatsoever. He never mentions to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his pride, his arrogance, his disobedience as being the causes of his downfall and his humiliation and disgrace.